For those who are interested in giving back to Mother Nature, here's Solomon Amuzu from Ghana with his permaculture update.
Hello, and thank you so much for making a day with us here again on today's show. It's a continuation from last week's topic, a broad-scale designing. Now, let us talk about observation in terms of broad-scale designing. As we walk about a site and talk to people, we can make our observations. At this stage, we try to store the information we gain in some accurate way. Carry a notebook or camera and a tape recorder and make a small sketches. The notes we make end up with can later be used to devise design strategies. We do not just see and hear, smell and taste, but we sense heat and cold, pressure, stress from effort of hill climbing, or prickly plants, and find compactable or incompactable sites in the landscape. We note good views, outlooks, soil colors and textures in the process. In fact, we use consciously our many senses and become aware of our bodies and responses. Beyond this, we can sit for a time and notice patterns and processes. How some trees prefer to grow in rocks, some in valley, others in grassland or clumps. We see how water flows on the site, where fire have left scars, wind have bent branches or deformed the shape of trees, how the sun and shadows move, and where we find signs of animals resting, moving, or feeding. The site is full of information on every natural subject, and we must learn to read it well. Reading the landscape is a matter of looking for landscape indicators. Vegetation in a particular provide information about soil fertility, availability of moisture, and microclimate. Rushes, for example, indicate boggy soil or seepages. Dandelions and blueberries, acid soils, and dark compacted and clay soils. Large trees growing in a dry region indicate a source of deep water, an abundance of thorny or unpalatable weed species. Example, thistle, ozalis, sodom apple indicate overgrazing or mismanagement. Erosion gullies and compacted pathways will confirm this. A plant flowering and fruiting earlier than others of the same species indicate a favorable microclimate, and trees growing with most of their branches on one side indicates the direction of a strong prevailing wind. These examples are specific to different climates and even to different landscapes. Locally developed rules of thumb come from knowledge of the local region. Fire frequency and direction can also be seen by noticing changes in vegetation. Fire produces dry, scrubby, summer deciduous, thick-seeded species. Lack of fire develops broadleaves. Overgrown or winter deciduous, small-seeded plants and a deep litter falls. Often, trees and other plants will indicate frost lines on slope properties by a change in vegetation type. As we observe, we can notice potential problems such as nauseous vegetation, erosion gullies, boggy ground, rocky areas, or compacted leach soils. These are areas of special consideration and might be selected for special yield or left untouched for a wildlife area. Such problems with little thought are turned to advantage. Boggy ground is an indicator of the natural drainage patterns of the area and reflects impermeable subsoils. This can be made into a wetland area or dug out to provide open water. Sometimes, below swamps and marshes, there is an accumulation of peat or high-valued potters clay. If ponds are made in the marsh, some peat can be harvested for potting soil or to improve sandy areas. There are many resources to look for. Are there stream or water sources at head for water supply and possible energy supply? Are there forests containing valuable timber or even dead logs useful for wildlife or for firewood? Is there a good wind site for wind power? There are many categories of resources. Earth resources, biological resources, that is plant, animal, and insect life. The energy resources of wind, water, wood, oil, crop, and gas. And the social resources. The social resources include the potential of the site for teaching and seminars or recreational activities, which depends mainly upon location, facilities available or that can be constructed, and local planning laws. By observing the landscape, we draw inspiration from the survival strategies followed by natural systems and imitate them using species or more direction used to us. We observe, for example, that large trees grow on the shade side of deep dry land. Canyons, this is where we can place our own trees for assured success. Or we see that pioneer plants are establishing at fence line and pots from bed dropping area. We can set dozens of perch posts throughout the landscape to encourage such plants. Or we set out perches near small fruit trees to provide phosphates for our trees. Thank you so much being with us. We'll continue again on the same topic, broad-scale designing, by moving on to off-site resources. I am Solomon Amuzu. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Solomon, for another wonderful permaculture update. And you can find Solomon on Call to Nature Facebook group, Call to Nature. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I've been Mike Ferrigan. I still am Mike Ferrigan. I don't know how long I'll continue to be Mike Ferrigan. But I hope you'll plug in again, tune in again next week for another edition of Extinction Radio in conjunction with the Near Term Human Extinction Support Group on Facebook.